Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everybody, and it's a beautiful day here in Houston. So glad everybody came out, and it's such a beautiful day that some of you didn't come out. I don't know what you're doing, but the rest of our membership being paged at the golf course. So if you're over there, may you not par one hole. Anyway, good to have everybody. Everybody came late, so that's good. I'm glad you're all here, though. It's better late than never. We're going to sing a few songs, and then we'll stop and take a break or two. And there's a lot of people that are in the hospital and kind of out of commission, home, dealing with different things. And we'll talk about that here just shortly. If you haven't got a donut yet or a kolache, feel free to look over there and grab them. We'll be raring to go. Okay, let's sing a few. Getting ready for Easter time. The first one's At the Cross, and then we'll go right into There's Power in the Blood.
Alas, did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he invoke that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace alone, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
I don't know if you know the fifth verse or not, but drops of grief, we know that.
But drops of grief can never repay the day. Myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Good you or evil, a victory win. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonderful power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonderworking power in the blood. On a hill far away,
got a few announcements we want to share with you. You know what's going on in our world and getting close to Easter. We're going to have the Good Friday service. We're going to have the Easter egg hunt like we always do, although last year was an exception. No more exceptions for a while, okay? Let's just do it. And then we'll have Easter Sunday morning here. But we want to let you know that the Easter egg hunt was always 1 o'clock. So it'll be here 1 o'clock on that Saturday before Easter. We do need some candy. We got, I think, probably enough eggs. But I think we need candy that'll go inside those eggs. So we have some that's already filled. I'm going to fill, I don't know how many. But hopefully we'll have thousands of eggs. So if you happen to be at, hey, Hannah, hey, girls. If you happen to be at Walgreens, has a good sale. I was just over there a while ago. If you happen to be at Walmart or Walgreens or one of those places that sells candy, pick up a bag or something and bring it, and we all start filling those eggs up and doing that for the community. That's always a good time. I don't know if you've been in the back, but those that have been in the back can see some activity back there. The plumbing activity has been kind of nil because they're still trying to get people in line, but hopefully that activity will pick up since the freeze this week. But the electric's done a lot of good stuff. They're out here with the city this week, and the city gave us the green light on what electric's been ran so far, and getting ready to tap into the lines so we can actually turn a light switch on out there. So we're getting close to the electric. You'll notice all the digging up here. This is where I'm getting quotes this week on parking lots. So we'll have a quote on the Cadillac version and the Volkswagen version. And we may go over the little Volkswagen bug, but we want to have enough that we take care of the senior saints that's going to be driving on that side of the building, because that's where everybody's going to be coming in for school and things of that order too. So we'll make sure we have a good lot over there. And then whatever the city requires us to have for our occupancy, we have to have that many parking spots. So we're working on that. I think that's the update. That's all I know. It's been kind of a slow couple of weeks. The freeze and the weather kind of threw us a wrench. So every time you think everything's going smooth, something like that happens. Can't control the weather. We're working on probably in the next week or two, I'll work on getting some of those guys that came out yesterday to help move the student chairs in like we moved in last week. Thank you for coming out at the drop of a hat. I don't know how many was here, but Kyle, Jack was here. Yeah. How many guys showed up?
At least a half guys.
So that was good, which is that he only wanted three or four. So we're good to get them in. That's the student chairs. It goes upstairs. And Kyle has been one of our guys just right here. Robert was here too, right? And some other people. So thank you for coming. And
Liam is here to supervise.
Oh, okay. Very good. We need a supervisor. Yeah. And that was a drop of a hat thing. We will plan on having the purple chairs, the sanctuary chairs, come in after Robert gives me the okay that he won't be sawing in there making dust. And then we'll bring them in, leave them wrapped until the time, and then we'll get to unwrap them and put the sanctuary chairs in. Bernice, since you're just walking in, good seeing you. How is your mama?
She's okay.
She's still in the hospital?
Yeah, she'll be transferred to rehab today.
Okay, so Floyd's been in the hospital several days, and lots of different issues, a plethora of a list of things, just in case you didn't know what plethora meant, but a list of things that was going on. I learned that word off Jeopardy. Anyway, yeah. the pray for Floyd as she goes into rehab. Kim Overhaul has fallen and broken her wrist. So pray for her. Charlie Bowman is back in the hospital. They thought he had a heart attack, but it wasn't, which is a good thing. Ended up being some type of blood clot. And the update Esther just sent a while ago, and hopefully this stops it. If not, they're not going to be able to use the same medicine, so they have to go to plan B on that. So hopefully he'll be going back to rehab. And lots of people hurting down and out, and just to be praying for them for strength. And I understand, Robert, that your bride is going to need prayer for tomorrow, because she's going to be an old lady, you told me, tomorrow. So happy birthday, Jean, tomorrow. Oh, it was your anniversary. Why is she going to be older tomorrow? Because then you turn the same age tomorrow. How many years you guys been married? 62. Wow. Tomorrow.
14 of the happiest years of my life.
14 of the happiest years of your life. I knew that was coming. It's just a wonder that you put up with him. So I'm sorry. I was trying to make you older, but I thought that's what he said this morning. I missed the other half of that. Well, happy anniversary to you. So I don't know. Let's look what we got. Annie Armstrong prayer list are over here. We have the Sunday school classes still meeting before and after Thursday night on the BSF. Women is here. And the last page talks about the Annie Armstrong offering. And for those folks, and I want to let you know, I'm getting lots of questions on what the Baptists are doing, okay? I got my ear to the ground, too, and we will visit this as a church at our business meeting because some people are saying, hey, wait, I don't want my money to go to some things that they're doing, and I was afraid we were going to get to that point. I hear all of your concerns. We just need to wait till they wake up and smell the coffee. Like every now and then, people go brain dead, the governor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say that. Cut that, Don. But he came back today, so that's all right. So a lot of things happened, and we want to make sure before we act that we get the full story of what the Baptists are actually doing. So, but anyway, the Annie Armstrong offering that is going to missions is our time of the year between now and Easter, so make note of that. And if Esther put on there also that next Sunday, you get to spring forward, so you lose an hour of sleep. So everybody will be asleep in the service next week. Anything I missed? I think that's it. We have several people that's kind of sick and try to get through this last freeze. So just be praying for our senior saints. And it seems like we're getting a lot of people that's having lots of birthdays. I know that only comes around once a year, but our people are getting up there, so just keep praying for them, those that are homebound, and I have a feeling that Easter is going to be a dandy. A lot of people are telling me they plan on their first Sunday being back from a year being gone is going to be Easter Sunday, so we're going to try to open this baby up as big as we can. If by chance, I'm not even going to say it, but we will be in here. But if by chance there's a possibility us even having it over there without plumbing, I will sure beg for forgiveness instead of ask for permission if it's even logistically possible. They are coming in this week. Is Luann here? I thought I saw her. Luann, they're going to be taking this door out this week. They're not putting the wall up because I heard your concerns. Believe you me, I heard your concerns. So we won't be putting the wall up, but we're taking the door out and then rebuilding the archway. So this door will be disappearing this week, and then we'll wait till we can build the wall to be able to cut through into the new building. So that's going to be removed this week. So be praying for the workers and everybody that just falls into place. We're getting closer. Thank you for your support on that. Let's sing a little bit more, then we'll have the ushers come forward. Several people traveling today, too. I know Joyce and Gwen are out traveling, and some of the old days are traveling. So just be praying for travel mercy. Let's see what we got. Let's do a couple more, and then we'll go into. I don't even know what I got next. Let's see. Yeah, we'll do one more. His name is Wonderful. Oh. have the ushers come forward. Can't find ushers? Have trouble with them?
Everybody's traveling, so I guess you got
everybody's traveling, okay.
You got the second string coming up.
Second string.
Say the best of luck.
Easy there.
We, you know, God's been pretty good to us. We've got some good faithful givers and everything, and we got a lot of different projects, and I catch, and we're going to talk about it in the sermon today, when you catch the flak, how do you deal with it? And I needed the scripture today, so that's what we're going to talk about. Money's always a tough issue. I don't like to ask for it, but we have lots of bills, and we have lots of bills that's going to be coming in that we don't even have really a clue of what it's going to be. And then there's going to be things that people are going to want that we ought to have in a brand new building that sometimes we'll have to say, no, wait, well, we won't be able to do that right yet, but we're going to try and do what we can. But just keep being faithful. Keep doing what God asks you to do, and he will bless us. And I believe that. Everything's good. We are in a great shape financially, and it's because of your love and support the way you give. So keep on doing that, and that's all we can ask. And as long as we keep on giving, God's going to keep blessing. But the day we say, hey, wait, we're not going to do that. I think we're going to keep that for us instead of helping other people. That's when it goes away. And you have to be able to take care of each other and people in the world. So thank you for your giving. Jack, I'm going to ask you if you would just bless us. Bless the offering and all the things that it goes to. Thank you, sir.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day, and I thank you for this wonderful fellowship of believers that we have. We just here to acknowledge your sovereignty, your love, your mercy, and your ever faithfulness. Lord, as part of our worship, our praise to you, Lord, we acknowledge that all good things are from you, and we give a small portion of it back to you as a showing of our love, and we do it cheerfully. Lord, we just ask that you would bless it, that you would see us through, guide us as we make these decisions financially. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
As wide as the sea.
Glorify thy name.
singing praises to him. You can't sing only one verse of that. You got to do all three. So get your Bibles out. If you can find it in your Bibles, we're in 1 Peter, so go ahead and start looking. I catch my breath as we go to 1 Peter. That's right before 2 Peter, for those that need help finding it. For you newer believers, it's toward the back of the book. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. 1 John, so you've gone too far. But keep coming toward the front, and you'll eventually run into 1 Peter. You know, we've all been given a task to do. And we've been talking the last few weeks on how to be and have the tools that it takes to become of the Christian that God wants you to become, that Christ wants you to become, that we have been destined to be. And one of the things that's going to get us, and probably in ministry, this is my biggest hurdle, is when people slam me and negative, and they just rain on your parade. In life, in the ministry life of being a pastor of over 40 years, believe it or not, this still gets me. This still gets into my mind and plays with it, even though this sermon's for me, even though I try to negate it and not. But I need to learn how, and you need to learn how, to deal with naysayers, the negative people, the toxicity that is around you. Now, even kids, I want you to catch this, because I think you need to hear this too, because sometimes it comes from parents. Sometimes it comes from family. Sometimes it comes from people that we're in business with or whatever, and that other business partner doesn't like the way you're doing this. So you can apply this in so many different ways. But I just want you to see, I think, what the Bible says about this, that there are all these people who encounter telling you that you can't do something, that you don't have what it takes, that your dreams are literally impossible. Or they'll make fun of you or ridicule you and verbally tear you down. And the unique thing is, I wish one would have the backbone to do it in front of my face. Because at that point, I would shake their hand or hug them and say, I love you still. It's all right. But it's never that way. Unless you have naysayers, well, if it's your spouse, different ballgame. I mean, you have to sleep with the people, you know. I guess you don't. But most of the time it comes from an anonymous letter that comes in the mail, or a Facebook posting, or an email that you can't tell where the email trail comes from. Or it's the people that if they do come up into your life, they'll say, I have heard from other people, and this is what they're saying. And when you say, what's their name? Well, you know it's them. Okay. People are talking. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one that deals with this, but I don't think so. I think you all do too. And here's my prelude. And as we go into this, each person in this room has a God-given vision and destiny and fingerprint on your life. God places those dreams, those ideas, those goals, those aspirations in your hearts and in your minds. He created us to do good works for Him. He made us creative beings. For the first 20 years of my life, I was ridiculed because I didn't stand behind the pulpit. Seriously, I would get absolutely slammed because a real pastor stands behind the pulpit. You wouldn't have hired me if I had stood behind the pulpit. The reason you hired me is because I went over to the side and sat on the speaker. You go, well, nobody's ever done that before. I think we need this guy. I don't know if that was the reason or not. And the only reason I'm standing here and sitting here is because of this goofy thing, okay? And I want the world to be able to hear this, so I don't slam that. But I believe you me, I'll be back up and down the aisles because I like that. But God has given us our own creativity, our own dreams or aspirations. And having those dreams in your life and in mine is more than just normalcy. It's to be used by God. And when life beats those dreams out of you, you start settling for so much less. And that's when the devil wins. The devil wants us to settle for good when God has great in store. Average is the devil's tool. Mediocre, the devil loves. Lukewarm, the devil parties. But we find out why. The word says about lukewarm in Revelation, right? What does God do to lukewarmness? He spews it out of his mouth. He vomits it out of his mouth. Depends on my version, but he spits it out. It's terrible. He wants you either hot or cold. And naysayers always end up having buckets of ice water that they throw on your fire for him. Learning how to ignore this is not pride. It's faith. It's courage. When somebody looks at you and say, you can't do that. You're not good enough to do that. You're too old to do that. You're not smart enough to do that. You can't be used by God that way. All of that stuff that people tell you time after time after time is worthless stuff, and you need to ignore it. Faith and courage to follow Jesus is what I want to try to inspire in me and you today. Life happens, but it simply requires a lot of faith when it's filled with naysayers. And let me tell you, I don't believe in all of my years of being alive, I've ever seen a country so close to absolutely asininity. I don't know if that's a word, but you know what I'm talking about. In my life, than the country we're in right now. California just voted yesterday that boys' signs and girl signs can't be in clothing stores. There can't be boy sections anymore or girl sections. It'll cost $1,000 fine if you're in California right now and you start dividing the clothes up in boys and girls' clothes. I don't know, but I want to go look for a necktie, man. I don't want to be working around and try to find it under a bunch of panties. I don't want to go, oh, wait, I'm in the wrong section. There's something wrong. We have a country that's starting to say everything that we have established and built and is on what God wants us to do. Not everything is, but so much of it is. Now they're wanting to say, we want to take that out. We want to take that out. We want to take that because somehow the equalness of all of that, the women's section may be in a worse section than the men's, or we're labeling people, and we can't label people. So when you stand up in the office and start standing up for Jesus Christ, and you let it be known that you are a Christian, that you are a believer in him, congratulations, you're going to have people waiting in line to give you negativity. And it's going to happen. And folks, you might as well gird your loins and tighten your seatbelts because we're in for a long haul as a church, as a country, and I think as a world. We have let guidelines become not absolutes anymore. It's all gray. And then it's going to start shifting to the other side. I promise you that. So hang tough. And that was all free. That didn't cost you anything. First thing, I want to show you how to ignore the naysayers. And Lord, I need this myself. And to follow Jesus into success and the success that he has for you. Okay. Number one. First of all, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you have people that's negative towards you. Don't be surprised when the phone rings. Don't be surprised when the emails come. I think it's a normal thing to expect that others will be excited about our attempts at breaking out of the norm, out of the mold, trying to achieve more. But we will soon find out most people aren't. If you don't believe me, go to a non-religious event or party and be the one that says, oh, no, I don't want to drink. And watch how everybody else at the party will say, come on, Candy, come on. Oh, just one, come on. They want to make sure everybody, but be that when you stand up for anything that is against the norm, don't be shocked when people say, I don't like you. I don't like it. Who do you think you are, Goody Two-Shoe? And they start throwing names at us in you. You have people that say you want to start a business, and they go, are you crazy? Right now, during this time, it's never going to work. You want to go back and finish your degree? You're too old for that. You can't do it. And you start hearing people in your own family will tell you this. Are you crazy? You want to become a doctor or a nurse or an electrician? You can't do that. Your grades aren't good enough for that. You're never going to make it. Are you nuts? Or you have a mission that God has given you that I want to make a difference in my community. I want to feed hungry people in our community. You can't make a difference like that. One person's not going to be able to do that. And I get this all the time. When I really believe that when we come to a place like Pearland, and we prayed about where we were going to go, we had a committee. This was not just a Greg Williams pull of the chain to come to Pearland. We talked about it, prayed about it, and went through this. We felt this was a God-given destination for us, and I believe we are in God's exact place, not just to sit here and pat each other on the back and love each other, which is important, but it's to make a difference in a community. I think our church can be the church that reaches out to this community like no other church ever has. Now, watch. I'll get home, probably in my car on the way home, and people will text me about how goofy that comment was. We're too small for that. You're not listening to the message. No, we're not. God said, all I need is 12 people and maybe 11 and an Andre one. Okay, I can't really figure out if Judas was all in it at the first or not, or he was a plant. I don't know. Let's not get into that. But that's something we can have coffee over. But he was hand selected. We know that. If God says I can change the world with 12, won't you? We made it. We got it on this side of the building. We got it. We can do it. But you can't be shocked or surprised when the naysayers come. Are you ready for scripture now? 1 Peter 4. I guarantee you your faith will unleash the naysayers. Because they don't have much. And they despise people who do. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. And the next verse will be a couple verses before that. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. I'm telling you right there, don't be shocked about this. Matter of fact, it seems like in my world, if I don't get the negative comments, I must not be doing something right. Because there's a certain few of the church members that have been given the divine right to be the overall judge of this world. And they share that. Nobody in this place, just people that you know, people in other churches or whatever. I'm just talking in broad base. I have a friend of mine, Matt James Brown, and Matt's a pastor there in Illinois. And we talk about this all the time. And it's nice to have a pastor that's a friend that we can talk. I would never do it with anybody local because we all lie to each other around here. How's it going to your church? Oh, we don't have any people like that. Oh, well, we don't either. Matter of fact, you know, our church is growing so fast, and it's just like a whole bunch of fishermen telling different stories. So that's why I don't do any of that stuff. But it's nice to have a friend in another state that you can just be honest with and help them in their ministry. 1 Peter 4:4, in the same chapter. I was hoping to get through this today, and I opened it. 1 Peter 4:4 goes like this. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things that they do. So what do? They slander you. Folks, they'll slander you. They will say everything. I have been called the devil more times in my life since I've gone into the ministry than if I was working in a place and trying to be the devil. It's when you do something that just draws against their grain and you think it's something that God has called you to do, and they will try to knock you down, cut you off, get your knees knocked out from you just because it's not their idea or their amount of faith or their thought, and they just don't think you're the one to be able to do it. Moses went through this. How many times? How many times do we see this? Moses, you're crazy. We could be slaves now and eating at least slave food. Getting tired of this manna stuff. We talk about that all the time. If you want to follow Jesus into success and what he has for you, you have to be willing to lean in, to leave the pack, to leave the herd, to leave the norms that people try to place on you. The unfortunate thing is, when you inspire to do that, some people are going to ridicule you. Some people are going to slander you. Number one, don't be surprised at it. It's part of the journey that helps us to become more like Jesus. Annie's asked me to write a devotional for Palm Sunday all the way through Easter. This is such a perfect illustration. I've only got one day done, so I still have 6 or 7 more to go. But can you imagine, and we'll talk about this in a few weeks, coming in, being praised on Palm Sunday, Hosanna to the highest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are awesome. And throwing stuff and waving palm branches. And it wasn't days. It wasn't hours before they said, we want the man dead. Let the criminal go. We want him dead. Why? Because he went against the grain of the system. He had a way of presenting the gospel that was meaning you accept the grace. You can't work your way there. The people want to be able to work their way there so we can modulate it. I did this, you didn't. I must be better than you. That's not the way the Lord works. The Lord says, I did it. Just believe me, and you're all equal. You want equality in our world? You all learn to love Jesus and accept him, and you will get equality like you never, ever dreamed of. Thus saith the Lord. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old, black or white, Chinese, Indian, doesn't matter what you are. Thin, good looking, chubby, and not so good looking. You're equal. At the cross of Jesus Christ, it is absolutely level ground. That's true equality. Don't buy into this other junk. It's not. The only equality that we'll ever have is at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The second thing, what happens when you get these? You're not shocked about it. So you're not shocked and you get it. You're being land blasted. You're being just torn apart. You can't even hardly walk after they chewed you up one leg and down the other. Number two, Don't respond back. We all have a tendency, and I do, believe you me, I do. You have a tendency to want to defend yourself, your dreams, your ideas, your direction that you've taken in life. But naysayers are different than people with honest questions and concerns. Naysayers are different people than just people with honest questions and concerns. Naysayers are wanting to discourage. They want to upheaval everything in your life. They want to stop what you're doing. They want to slam you. I love constructive criticism. I love when somebody comes up in front of me and tells me what they don't like or what they think I'm doing wrong. I really do. I thrive on that. And normally after those conversations, I'm closer to those people than I've ever been before, because we've acknowledged some things and grown together. But when you have that, they just don't understand. Matthew 7:6 just says this. And this is a deep verse. And I don't know if we're going to get any further than this, because I don't want to go way long like I did last week. But Matthew 7:6, you want to find this. Don't waste your time. Matthew 7:6. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you anyway. Anyways, the Williams version. They will turn and attack you. I finally found that quote that we was talking about a couple weeks ago. I printed it off. Don't ever wrestle with a pig. You'll both get dirty, but the pig will enjoy it. Absolutely. That's exactly what this scripture is saying. I want you to catch this, and we're going to spend the rest of the time, we're only a few more minutes on this. We're going to get to 3, 4, and 5. But we'll stop there and finish the rest of it next week. Why did Jesus say something so radical? First of all, he's not calling people pigs. So don't get into that. And when you use this scripture, say, well, how dare you call me a pig? That's not what this says. That's not what he's indicating. He's using it as an imaginary point to make a point. What God puts inside of us is holy. What God has called you to do in your life, and of those two beautiful girls that you have sitting next to you, what God has called you to do is holiness. He's called you to be something special. Anybody in this room want to tell me that those two young ladies aren't something special? Are you kidding? God's got his hands all over you. Michael, we knew from the very first day I met you, I knew that God has his hand all over him. And there's nobody in this place that can tell me different. But there's people in this world that will. There's people in this world that try to knock you down. What God has put inside of each and every one of us. Michael, your kids, same thing. We have such a blessed group of children here at this church. What God's put inside of us is holiness. When people attack it, they're attacking God's holiness because they don't like the way their vision and their view of it runs with it. And it says, don't do that. What God put inside of us is holy. If he is calling you to follow him, then that's a holy, holy thing. When God calls you to be something unique, it's a holy thing. You don't put out holy things and allow them to be trampled on by holy people. Pearls before pigs. Pigs won't value holiness. Unholy people won't value the pearls that God has for you. They're not going to get value for that. They don't see value for that. Matter of fact, the devil will tell them it's worthless. It's fake. He's not real. She'll never amount to anything. And they just keep on going. And they get you to the point that you are on a mission for God to destroy that person's dreams. How dare you think that you're the one that's called to be able to do that? We are responsible for our own, what God has called us to do. You just don't put that stuff out before pigs. They can't understand holiness. Some people will never understand who you are and what God is calling you to do.
Yeah.
Never. If you just try to explain your holy thing from God, all they're going to do is continue to attack you. Therefore, go silent and head to Jesus. Go silent. No need to have an argument with them. Now, don't get in a situation where you try to avoid them at the store. When you see them, you love them. You pray for them. You smile, and we'll talk about this in the next week. You don't avoid them because they win. You don't. You look at them. You go to them. You say hi. Don't jump to the next aisle and go over to the meat counter when you know that they're in the vegetable section. Don't do that. You deal with them. Go, hi, how are you? You hold your head up because you're not only representing yourself, you're representing yourself in the view of God. And you're not, don't succumb to that. It's not our job to convince them. It's not our job. It's not my job. And I don't know, Jack, I don't even know who's on the personnel committee anymore, but whoever's on the personnel committee, it's not my job to convince every person that this is the place for you. That's not my job. My job is to love you and our church to love you as much as we possibly can in the way that God has called us to do. And if you don't fit in here, then God bless you. I'm always the first one to go, may God bless you at your next place. May you get fed at your next place. May you get closer to people at your next place. May you find God in a different way. We're not for everybody. I know that. I know that. It's not our job to convince them. Let it go. Let go of the expectation. We're fixing to go offline on the radio show, which is fine. God bless you. We'll see you next week. We're going to keep on going because I only got about another minute or two before I finish this second point up. For some of you, this is going to require something that you don't even know what this fruit is, and even if it's hanging or dangling from your tree. But it's the fruit called self-control. You got to take a bite of that one. You got to try to get that one in you and learn what self-control is. Self-control is required for success. This is just another way God's developing that quality in your life. Last verse, and we're done, I promise. 2 Timothy 2:24. It's worth looking up. It's worth writing down, I know. God's word's always worth more than what my words are. I just want you to know that. Don't respond back to naysayers, number two. 2 Timothy 2:24. A servant of the Lord. That's us, folks. Don't put this just on me. That's all of us. Every one of us fall into that. Every age, every category. We're that servant of the Lord. Must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Oh, anybody want to mark that out in their Bible? I can't because I wouldn't do that. But boy, that sure tastes funny, doesn't it? So we better read it again. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach and be patient. And then, before you even ask the duh question, with everybody? Yeah. With difficult people. Yeah. It's easy to love you when you love me. I love it when you agree with everything that I'm thinking. We are best of friends. But it says, I have to not quarrel and be kind to everybody, be able to teach, be able to be patient with those negative people. Well, if that don't get you on your knees, nothing will. We should have started off that scripture and just said, amen, go home. Grab a Colossian out the door and just make it a difference. Mm-hmm. Who are you dealing with? What are you hearing? What stresses you out when you get online? What emails do you get that you go, oh, no, not again? What person do you see when you turn the corner and you're right into them at the office? Oh, no. How are you dealing with them? We're going to find out 3 more steps to be able to get through this next week as we finish this up. But I think we need this right now. Because Christians, when you stand up more and start praising the Lord more, standing up for what he believes in, not what the government believes in or anything else, but what the Lord believes in, you're going to get the naysayers. And we need this more than ever. The only reason I want to come to you right now and thank you for your love. I thank you for your word. I just think it's so awesome that it talks to me today, that it tells me, Lord, what I need to hear today, even though it hurts sometimes. It hurts. This week, Lord, may we have a new renewal in our spirit that we're not going to listen to the negative, that we're going to fill our life with your word and worship you, head your direction, Lord, and recognize what has been instilled in us by you. And if anybody has a problem with that, Lord, may they take it up with you. You'll deal with them. It's not my job, Lord, to back over them in the parking lot. You take care of them in your own way. My job, Lord, is to love everyone as you love us. To be a testimony to everyone. Lord, and forgive everyone as you have forgiven us. Oh, that's hard. Oh, that's hard. But Lord, show us how to do it. Thank you for allowing us grace to misstep every now and then. Thank you for allowing us to mess it up and you still welcome us back. Lord, may you put a wall around our children in this place, around our young people, that God has your hand, Lord, all over them. May negativity not come into their world. Protect them. Lord, cover their ears from that. Let them be grounded more in faith before they hear that stuff. And Lord, for us older folks, may we rely on your word and each other to get through another week, Lord, following you in our destiny. We give you all the praise, all the glory. Until we meet again, Lord, keep us safe and keep us close. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome Sunday and week next week. God bless. You want to watch the show tonight? Tonight we have a 10-year-old girl that's going to be on, an author that talks about what it feels like to be bullied at school. It'll be really, really good to see it through her eyes. Join us. See you next week. God bless you. Hey, good morning. We're out of time now for this segment of Faith Springs Live here on BBS Radio. But I want to let you know that we will be here next week again for another live edition at Faith Springs Baptist Church right here on BBS Radio at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning Central Time. We'd love to have you Join us again next week. If you have any thoughts, have any questions, if you have anything you just want to talk to us about, feel free to email me at GAWILLI and the number 1@texaschildrens.org, or you can text me at 832-396-6525. We appreciate you being with us this morning, and can't wait to see you hopefully live in our church building and in our new church building coming soon in the next few weeks. So great to have you. God bless and have an awesome week, and we'll see you next Sunday morning.